Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, breaking down some of the running back tiers to give you an idea, some team building strategies here as we grind away into the MFL turnover to 2021, startup draft season in full effect, trades, everything's going to come into full focus here as that's a critical time because you get the rollover, you get the picks that change, that always helps. You get the deadlines to basically pay up, right? Put up or shut up time. And that begins startup season as well, and you get a flurry of activity. So let's take a look at some of these and some potential guys that I think could be some value movement guys. So I have a stash category here that just has three people in it right now. It is Darrington Evans, because I don't have a clear idea of what he is. So he's at running back 53, so I think he's just really a pedigree stash at this point. Royce Freeman, running back 88 in terms of ADP. I think he is a pretty clear running back 3 right now. I will say that Philip Lindsay is a restricted free agent, so we'll see how that process goes. That's a situation to watch. And he's a good metric prospect coming out of college, but he's really done not much in the NFL. So all that is not really great, just not great. So and then Travion Williams. And I'll be honest with Travion Williams, I found some interesting things in his profile. Hyper-efficient in terms of productivity as a rusher and as a receiver. It was very low volume. But when you juxtapose that against Jim Bernard, who was very inefficient, do you need to spend $6 million on Gio Bernard, or can you just roll out Travion Williams? And I think in a scenario where, hey, maybe they draft offensive line, you get another year out of Jonah Williams, you get Joe Burrow back, and all of a sudden that offense goes from being like not very good to being like, hey, it's somewhat competent. And if there's a mix in injury, Travion Williams could be the guy that's one injury away. So that is something I'm open to and keeping my eyes pretty aggressively peeled to, because I think that is a situation, you know, that's 293 overall. So again, we're looking way outside the starter. You know, we're looking way outside the important rounds of a startup draft, right? So I think that's a pretty interesting asymmetric bet there. That has some upside to it that you tend not to get in that range. So, all right, some potential guys that I think could be free agent beneficiaries. These are a variety of different reasons. So Benny Snell, James Conner is a free agent. I will say with Benny Snell, I think he's a clear sell if there's free agent news, because he was not particularly good. Same backfield, same situation. Anthony McFarland. I think there's an outside chance he starts. Again, the numbers actually, from a base rates perspective, it's about 20%. It's about 16% there for Penny Snell. So when you look at that, you're like, oh, all right. I don't know. I'd probably take the under on both of those guys. And when you look at the more and more I'm looking at these guys, to really have upside, you kind of have to do it in a very early year. So if you can at some point grab a second for either one of those guys, head to the door and do that. Chase Edmonds, Kenyon Drake was actually pretty bad in terms of a lot of his metrics this year. Basically entirely touchdown dependent. And so Chase Edmonds finished running back 25 last year. Again, saw those couple of spot starts or whatnot, but was pretty effective. He's going running back 34, and I think there's a potential that he's an uptick guy if Drake leaves in free agency. So could you pull down a first for him? You know, he's going 164 right now. You know, could that rise, 60 spots? Maybe, right? But could you go second to first? I think so. That might be more possible. A couple of pieces for a first, you know, him being one of them, I think that's possible. So he's definitely one where firm hold where we've got him. Matt Breida, 265. We're looking at, 280. So we're really looking way outside the, we're really looking way, way outside the main rounds here of a startup draft. Again, what is he? And I put in the note here, maybe he's better. Maybe we think he's better than he is, right? It's entirely possible. There's guys I've been wrong on that I just missed on, right? And maybe he's one of those guys. That's entirely possible. Rashad Penny, I mean, crazier things have happened. I mean, at this point, it's a pretty low likelihood event, I would think. But, that's kind of where he's at. We'll see what happens with all the injury stuff. Keyshawn Vaughn, again, he's like a 38% or so guy. I think the pivot here is really Leonard Fournette. So if Leonard Fournette's back, Keyshawn Vaughn's going to be real deep. I mean, you're looking 250 overall type deep. He's currently 184. He's running back 41. So I'm not touching him with a 10-foot pole at that price right now. If Fournette's gone, right, I think that maybe that's where he appropriately fits. So I think he's absolutely mispriced at this point because there's a risk that Fournette's back. And even if Fournette's not back, I think Ronald Jones is still the guy. So you have that problem.
I also wouldn't put it past them to make an addition. We've seen this over and over again about veteran guys going there and being role players, right? So that's Gronkowski and Antonio Brown and, heck, Fournette, right? It wouldn't shock me like a James White, something like that. So while I get the base rates argument for Keyshawn Vaughn, some of the decisions that they've made in the window that they are in give me concern about that one. So I will just say that with regards to him. Also in this tier is A.J. Dillon. That goes without saying in terms of a potential free agent beneficiary. He'll definitely move up to being a 2-3-year window guy. In the event that Aaron Jones and or Jamal Williams leave in free agency, LaMichael Perine with the New York Jets. Again, they are a potential landing spot speculated for a free agent running back, so we'll watch there. DJ Dallas, things could break right. He had decent metrics 2020. Again, it was very, very small sample. But he is a potential Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde vacancy away from being very, very relevant. So I wouldn't put it past them either. Again, is that a short sell window? Is that a third to a second? That might be, but I would just be open to that option. Running back 38, 285 overall. Ito Smith way down this line too. Again, incumbent. Is this a question mark I wrote next to him with Gurley leaving? I think that they'll address the position, but they don't have a ton of cap space either. So just be on the lookout for Atlanta looking like a strange running back situation in 2021. Some cut candidates. Duke Johnson, he's very, very cuttable. They could save $5 million by cutting him. Giovanni Bernard's a cap casualty as well. Potential. Houston is they could save $6.4 million by cutting David Johnson as well. So they could save $11.5 million from the cap cutting those two guys. And, heck, could spend $8 million on Aaron Jones or someone like that and be ahead of the game. So that's a situation I definitely watch for. And Jerick McKinnon is all but gone. Some committee guys that I think are bear some discussion. Kalen Blige, free agent. He's pretty bad metrically. So is Joshua Kelly. These guys both fit in this range. Not necessarily clear one injury away guys, right? Again, these are a little bit amorphous. Exactly how do they fit? Those guys are question marks. Tariq Cohen in this as well. Coming off an injury, he might be one of the worst contracts in the entire league. So they basically are totally on the hook for him in 2021. They could cut him and take a $3.5 million dead cap hit in 2022 and save $2.3 million. So he's really cuttable in 2023, but it's a horrific contract. J.D. McKissic. My note on him is this: can any offense operate as inefficiently to optimize McKissic as Washington football team did in 2020? Between him and Logan Thomas, again, J.D. McKissic's a good story, but in terms of him and Logan Thomas, it's very tough to get to that situation. Justin Jackson's also in this category as well. He's actually got some receiving metrics, so that's notable. just a be on the lookout for type situation there. Jeremy McNichols, Philip Lindsay as well. Sort of where do these guys fit in? Are all question marks, right? So varying degrees of different situations there. Total situations unknown. These are ones that I don't have a great take on. So where does Ronald Jones fit in this? Damian Williams coming off the opt-out. Sony Michel was actually top 10 in yards after contact per carry, which was jumped off the page to me. Didn't remember that, him being that effective. So that's a notable one to watch. 51 overall, 27% base rate. So, again, that's crazier things have happened. So I would just be on the lookout for what that running back situation might be. Just to think that it's going to be Damian Harris is probably a – it's probably a questionable bet there, right? Just in terms of putting it all in on him. Again, base rates, it's Michelle over Harris. Again, base rates are dumb in the sense that they don't have updated information on the specific situation. But just keep in mind that the idea that Harris is going to be the lead back and that Michelle is going to be just cast off, historically, that really hasn't happened. Again, this is a different situation. We have to adjust for that. But as a starting number, the odds that Michelle hit would be higher than Harris. Again, I would take Harris over Michelle, but I think it's that is a good framing context for that decision. Devin Singletary in this as well. Where does he fit? You know, he's one that I'm not sure. He's better. He is significantly better than his situation. I will just say that. Like, he is absolutely better than his situation. However, I think that it's pretty unlikely that he's going to be a high-end guy. When you look at him, like, he's clearly better than Zach Moss. Like, I have very little doubt about that he's better than Zach Moss in terms of some of the efficiency stuff. I just can't really see a where he gets just a ton of workload or that he gets a huge opportunity in terms of like scoring touchdowns or it be a really high receiving thing, right? All of those things that he does pretty well are not things that they do all that much. So that would just be my cause for concern there with both of those guys. And even in the event that one's hurt, I mean, I'm not sure it's anything more than like a low-end running back two type projection in a week. So I think the market's on that. If the market hasn't adjusted to Zach Moss, I'd be easily selling that. So I would get out of that backfield, I think, pretty quickly would be my thought. I like Singletary over Zach Moss in terms of talent, but it's a concern. Raheem Mostert's also in this. Jeff Wilson's also in this. Either one of those guys, right? Running back 39 for Raheem Morris, that's 179 overall. Running back 36 for Jeff Wilson, 172. Not a huge discount there, really. Although both guys are going after like Tony Pollard. So, you know, if you were to say, hey, which guy is going to, you know, what are the odds that one of those guys actually hits for a decent number? It's interesting because I think both of them have a decent shot at being a, you know, if you could stack them, right? I think you got better than a 50-50 shot at having a guy in a week, right? So that's interesting. So if you could go kind of them back to back in that range, might not be a bad play. Kind of like they do the Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston stack and Superflex. You probably got yourself a starting quarterback. So yeah, that one. Miles Gaskin was like ridiculous in some of the metrics this year. Second in yards per route run, very effective as a runner. And the question is like, does that sustain? Like, how good do you have to be a seventh round draft pick and get through, right? And avoid the competition. How good do you have to be? Because Miles Gaskin was very good. Again, it doesn't necessarily show up fantasy wise. It shows up as running back 24. But very good at the numbers, very good at the numbers. So, yeah, I mean, this is one that I'm definitely going to watch for, and he's a throw in deals. Again, that's a early second round type valuation. If you're going to stack him up against rookie picks, I wouldn't do that. Right. But if you could sort of get a later second round or a third round valuation on him in a trade, right. If it's a 2-for-2 or 3-for-3, that's sort of what you value him. Him included for whatever you're constructing a deal and you feel it's valued as like a third. That's a really interesting proposition there because he was very good, right? But the running back 26 with the lack of pedigree, that's tough, right? That's tough. But if you told me in a couple of years, like, hey, they went, you know, basically a zero RB and Myles Gaskin, you know, posted a couple of top 20 finishes, right? You know, running back 18 and running back 19 finishes over the next couple of years, wouldn't shock me at all. Wouldn't shock me at all. So I think we should be open to that idea, especially if he falls, like in drafts or in trades or something like that. If we get rumors or something, and even if, again, if you sort of look at this range, like there are some one injury away guys, right? And so if you say, hey, let's just look and say like he gets injured, right? Or he gets someone, they bring someone in over him. He slots in as a one injury away guy, and that drops his price four rounds, right? That puts him absolutely in the human hand grenade section of valuations, right? So that would be, you know, a thing to keep in mind there. Again, he's going just ahead of Devin Singletary, for example. He's going just ahead of Damian Harris, and he's going a couple rounds there behind Ronald Jones. I think when you look at those guys, they're all interesting. They're different bets. You know, I think probably Gaskin's got higher upside than Damian Harris, just in terms of what he can do in terms of both a rusher and a passer, or in a receiver. So the human hand grenade section is Daryl Henderson. Again, when you sort of compare Myles Gaskin in the weighing his downside against some of the human hand grenade guys, you're like, all right, like, so Daryl Henderson is running back 43. That's 194 overall. Gus Edwards is 200. He's a clear target. Tony Pollard is 33. That might even be a little high. So that would be one thing I would note there. I think the idea that Zeke is going to be cast away just by the contract wise, that doesn't appear to make a whole lot of appear to make a ton of sense to me. I don't think that's going to happen. Latavius Murray is still Mr. AWARP, but his efficiencies were lagging, so I wouldn't necessarily lock him in as being a big time, maybe the biggest upside guy, right? Some of the stuff has started to fall off. He's in his early 30s now. I'm not running away from him, but again, I think you might have to keep. Does he have a game or two in him in terms of like that high end upside? Yeah. Is he going to be like a season long starter if Kamara would go out like week two, something like that? Maybe not. Again, he's a cuttable contract. They could save $2.5 million cutting him. Again, his number's not that big. It's 4.1. Maybe he takes a reduction or something like that to sort of stay there. But if they don't see themselves as contending, maybe they move on from him. So I think that's a dangerous one there actually. Let's see. So Boston Scott's also in this category. We'll see what the hell they're going to do with their entire offense. Alexander Mattison, one injury away. Kerryon Johnson, one injury away. Jordan Wilkins, Daryl Henderson. And then we'll finish up here with some free agent. We'll finish up here actually with the committee plus guys. So that's Kareem Hunt and Nyheim Hines. Again, I'm not sure how Nyheim Hines fits in all this, to be honest with you. He is certainly a part of a committee. Would he be a lead running back if Jonathan Taylor went down? I'm not sure. Maybe he's more of a committee guy, but he does have startability in any week, I think, depending on the quarterback situation. I mean, that's one I think we have to watch for. He's one that I'm not going to be all that bullish on. He's running back 35. He can absolutely outkick that for certain, but I'm not sure that I want to be in on that, just because I think the downside on these receiving centric running backs can be pretty low, and it can be pretty unusable. And so when you get paying, you know, top 40 prices for those guys, that those profiles really scream one hit wonder. And you know, when you sort of have the king of running back production and Philip Rivers, that's a certainly a situation to be concerned about. Kareem Hunt's the other one. He signed through 2022. His entire 2022 contract is cuttable. So Chubb is a free agent in 2022 as well. So he's got basically another year kind of buried here, and then we'll see, right? Is Chubb a tag? Is Chubb an extension? Right? That it'll be interesting to see how those two situations line up. All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, I want to do them in sort of pieces so that way I'm not sort of inundating you. But there's a lot here in terms of thinking about players, and this is kind of the way I like to think about rankings. So it's helpful to do a few of these in terms of talking about different players and strategies and all that stuff. So I'm trying to give you some actionable takeaway advice here. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Till next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.